Is the Lord's Day sanctified by man's work or man's rest? I've written an article for the latest issues, etc. journal titled Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details former Baptist minister Dennis McFadden's journey to the objectivity of the Lutheran Confession of Faith. The free Issues, etc. journal.
Swinging to me started as a lifestyle, and then it was like, you know what, we can do a lot of good with this.
The Bible doesn't talk about swinging specifically. I just feel like as a married couple, you agree on something together, then it's okay. If it's not, then like I said, Judgment Day, I'll find that out.
I'm getting to people that probably never will even visit a church.
What I think about being a devout person is, hey, God's not going to put a lion with a bunch of elephants. So what's he going to do? He's going to put a swinger with a bunch of swingers to spread his word. Simple as that.
That's Dean and Christy Parav. They're a Florida couple that, in addition to being bodybuilders, fitness enthusiasts, are also swingers. Now, if you're somewhat naive, swingers means you trade spouses or partners with other couples, wife swapping, and in this case, probably husband swapping as well. I guess it's got to work both ways there. They say that their swinging is their way of reaching the lost. It gives them an entree to people who, as Dean Parav says, would never show up in church. Now, this is just crazy, right? That kind of thinking is just insane for any Christian to say, we're going to do this because by doing this, we'll reach people who never show up in church. Now, wait a minute, that sounds really familiar for some reason. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. on this Friday afternoon, September the 26th. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Chris Roseborough joins us here on this Friday afternoon for a feature that we're beginning with him this week in Pop American Christianity. We'll talk about the wife-swapping evangelist couple. Mars Hill Phoenix has decided to change its name, perhaps to distance itself from the mother church in Seattle that has seen so much trouble. We'll also talk about America's manliest pastor being arrested for a DWI and his apology. That's for about the first 40 minutes of the program. Then a little bit later, we're going to play Issues, Etc., Soundbite of the Week. And in the course of that, you will have an opportunity to win the LPR bundle package. And I have Issues t-shirt and Issues, Etc., travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, mouse pad, and notepad for having the best vote for Issues, Etc., Soundbite of the Week. We'll play the four soundbites. Then all you got to do is call, email, send us a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page and vote. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or our beloved on-demand listeners can always use the comment line 24/7, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Joining us for this week in Pop American Christianity, Chris Roseborough, pastor of Consvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
This couple, and we've got Dean and Christy Parav who say, look, this is the way of reaching people that will never go to church themselves, the swingers, and in order to reach them, they will swing themselves. They'll wife swap themselves. This kind of thinking is insane. No Christian things like this. They have to be an outlier. This has to be the lunatic fringe. What do you say?
No, actually, I would say this is right in the mainstream of evangelical thinking, except for these people have just kind of taken it to its logical conclusion. You think back to a few years ago, Perry Noble of New Spring Church in Anderson, South Carolina, he tells a story where he was lifting weights at his house and was wondering what he could do to you know, to tick off the discernment bloggers and the church people for Easter Sunday, and at the same time reach the lost, you know, with the big, you know, Super Bowl of Sundays, which is Easter Sunday. And while he was lifting weights, on his iPod came on the song Highway to Hell, and he went, ah, there it is. And so he believed that that was God telling him to open Easter Sunday church service with AC/DC's Highway to Hell. And, of course, it created a firestorm, you know, of controversy. And, of course, Perry Noble, you know, who kind of likes reveling in that type of controversy, basically retorted, you know, who are you to say that this wasn't God the Holy Spirit speaking to me? Plus, we had over 100-and-something people give their lives to Jesus on Easter Sunday, all because we cared enough to reach them, you know, where they're at, and by playing Highway to Hell on Easter Sunday. And you think, man, that logic sounds a lot like the same kind of logic we heard from the Parav couple. It's the same thinking. It's just that now the context is not an Easter Sunday service. It's, hey, we got to reach these swingers for Jesus, so we're going to swing with them and reach them where they're at. And he even in that video goes on to say that, you know, you never know. I mean, there might be 10 or 15 people who will hear the gospel who wouldn't normally hear it because they don't ever go to church. So, you know, we're really thankful that we can bring the gospel to them and meet them where they're at. Same logic as Perry Noble and the megachurch pastors, just a different context.
Now, we've talked about this before several times. You experience this phenomena, as I do, sitting behind your microphone and I behind mine, that you think that it's reached, it can't go any farther, that no one can take this logic or illogic of, you know, do whatever it takes to reach the lost, and whatever it takes means whatever you can think of. It can't go any farther. And yet, as you've often said, you can't even parody Christianity anymore, because someone out there is doing it. No matter how stupid an idea you come up with, there is somebody out there doing it.
Yeah, and see, it makes you wonder what's the next shoe that's going to drop. I mean, prostitution is legal in some parts of Nevada. I mean, what's next? A seeker-driven church with a legal brothel? I mean, nothing's off limits anymore. And I mean, it's absolutely crazy. And what's fascinating is you listen to the interview with the Parav couple. They basically say, listen, we're going to keep doing this until God tells us it's wrong. They're expecting a direct revelation from God. You know, God's up in heaven going, okay, now, guys, you need to stop. You know, and that's not going to happen because his word has actually already said that this is wrong, but they think that that's vague and it doesn't exactly address their situation, because the way they see it, it's like, hey, you know, the Bible doesn't say adultery is wrong if both the husband and wife consent to share themselves with other couples. So because the Bible's gray in this area, then that means we're waiting for direct revelation from God to tell us to stop, which is unbelievable. So they reject the written word of God, follow after their experiences, and think that they're advancing the kingdom of God. All the while, they're impenitent in their adultery. And I seem to recall Jesus' words to the church in Thyatira in Revelation chapter 2, where Jezebel had taught, you know, this false prophet Jezebel, Jesus refers to her as that, had taught the men in the church to, you know, to commit sexual immorality, and that Jesus said that he gave her time to repent and eventually cast her on a sickbed. I mean, these people are literally tempting Christ to judge them in a terrible way, and our prayer for them is that they would repent and see that what they're doing is not evangelism. It's basically just rank adultery cloaked in a pietistic, you know, garb, all under the auspices of we're now missionaries, when they're nothing of the sort. They're sinners who need to repent and to be forgiven for this gross you know, immorality.
So it's kind of this, we talked with Hans Feeney about this some time back, where Christianity is about what you're good at nowadays. You know, I'm good at this. That's what Christianity is going to be at. These two are good at bodybuilding, making themselves, like, I guess, at least in that kind of subculture, attractive. And since that's what they're good at, there has to be a church for that kind of a thing. We're going to talk about this manly church a little bit later. But what is this notion that if I like doing it, whatever it may be, it has to somehow be incorporated into my evangelism, into my witness.
Well, actually, this kind of goes to the whole purpose-driven ideas. There's certain core assumptions to behind purpose-driven and seeker-driven churches, and that is that we're defined by our hobbies. We're defined by the little subgroups and subcultures that we're a part of. So, if you I know some guys who are attorneys by day and accountants by day, but during the weekend they put on, you know, leather jackets and drive Harleys, okay? And, you know, it's kind of a fascinating thing, whether they're really into, you know, motorcycles. But, I mean, these are guys who, you know, they're about as straight-laced during the week as anybody else. But the thing is that in the seeker-driven mentality, then, is that because these guys like motorcycles, the only way to effectively reach them would be to have motorcycle church, because, you know, you have to reach them where they're at. And the reality is that these people are denying that it's the power of God in the preached word that brings sinners to penitent faith in Christ. And instead, they've got to somehow glitz it up by reaching people with their hobbies and their interests and stuff like that. But that's not how Jesus or the disciples operated. And instead, you know, they would find people where they're at, and then they would tell them about their crucified and risen Savior and call them to repent in faith in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. And God, the Holy Spirit, would regenerate them. And then they would bring them into the church. But see, the thing is that in the seeker-driven world, the church service itself has become a perpetual evangelism service. You know, back in the day when we were growing up, you know, evangelism was done at the Billy Graham Crusades. Now evangelism is done every single Sunday rather than discipleship, and it's all about the gimmick, the thing, you know, to hook people based upon their interests and you know, what kind of television shows they like or the music that they like or the hobbies that interest them. And all this is doing is literally watering down the gospel message and basically catering to people's whims and fancies rather than calling them to repent and to trust in Christ.
Chris Rogebro is our guest. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and hosts a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. We're doing our feature with him this week in Pop American Christianity. A couple more questions on the wife-swapping evangelists. Then we'll go on to talk about Mars Hill and one of its satellites holding it at arm's length. Stay tuned.
Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Hey, St. Louis, how would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Resurrection Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio. St. Paul's Lutheran, Lockport, Illinois. Faith Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri. Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Zion Lutheran, Moberly, Missouri. And Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. IssuesETC.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
The power of salvation is the gospel, the good news of God's satisfaction of the law for us. Without the law, the gospel has no content.
If you are following every single trend that comes along, it ends up being all these different theologies basically trying to live in the same theological house, and they cannot stand. They war against each other.
I tell the story of attending a large Bible church where the pastor started off with a bunch of shoulds, and he finished with a bunch of shoulds, and he shoulded all over us the entire sermon.
He went bebopping up to the temple and said, "Jeepers, Lord, it would sure be nice if me and Elizabeth could have a baby." Now, the prayer is the liturgy of Israel, praying for forgiveness and praying for the coming of Messiah.
In about 20 minutes, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Four soundbites we'll play for you, and then we want your vote for one of those to be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943, sending us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or you can vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Chris Rosebro is our guest. We're talking about various stories in pop American Christianity this week. One more question on the wife-swapping evangelist couple. What do you say then, to kind of playing off of their logic here, what do you say when we hear a church leader who would never swap wives or any of that thing like that still say, whatever it takes to reach the lost, the same logic, how should we respond?
Listen, it's not about your methods. It's real clear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. This is what Romans 10:17 says. Put all that nonsense away. Open up your Bible and preach. Preach law and gospel, sin and grace, and tell people of their crucified and risen Savior, and watch what God the Holy Spirit does. You know what he's going to do? He's going to take some of those people that you're preaching the gospel to, and he's going to regenerate them, and he's going to give them a new heart, and he's going to slay them and bring them to remorse of their sins, and then the comfort of the good news that Christ bled and died for them. That's how Christians are made, and not by us in our silly marketing techniques and trying to, you know, to be clever and trying to reach people where they're at. Ultimately, that's a compromise because you believe that it's your cleverness that makes Christians. It's not. It's the preaching of the gospel.
Let's talk about a story that we've revisited with you many times, the story of Mars Hill in Seattle, and it's beleaguered pastor Mark Driscoll. This one is about one of the satellites. Mars Hill Phoenix has not only changed their name, it sounds like they've basically said, we'd like to go on without Mars Hill. What's the story?
Well, the story is that earlier in the month, Mars Hill actually announced that due to financial problems, that they were closing their Phoenix campus. And so, you know, that's kind of the first move. And the folks there, you know, rather than, you know, just completely disband, they have decided that they're going to try to move forward as, you know, and, you know, keep themselves intact as a church. But they're changing their name. They're no longer Mars Hill. They're going to become Phoenix Bible Church, and they're looking for a facility. I think they may have actually found a facility that's willing to let them have their church services on Saturday night. But you know, the one thing that's going to be missing from their congregation moving forward is the preaching and teaching of Mark Driscoll. For sure, that you know, their tie now has been totally cut from Mars Hill, and you can effectively say that Mars Hill, which was one of the churches that pioneered this whole concept of a multi-site campus, multi-site church, that they're also the first church to downsize and truly cut loose, one of their multi-sites due to financial constraints.
But it's not. I mean, the money is a symptom of another problem here, and that is, and we've entertained the question many times, Chris. If Mars Hill Seattle can't survive without the center of its solar system, the personality, the charisma of Mark Driscoll, then what of the satellites?
Yeah, and see, that's kind of the problem, is that the center of their galaxy has been their cult of personality pastor, Mark Driscoll. And the thing is that the center of any Christian church is not the pastor. The pastor, is the guy who's the servant. He's there to serve the sheep. The center of any solar system in a church has got to be Christ. He's the head, not your pastor. He's the one that we are to abide in, and not the pastor. And so this, I think, shows the major flaw in these multi-sites is they're not based upon the idea that Jesus is the center of our theological solar system, but the relevant, edgy, seeker-driven, pastor who everyone has an affinity towards. People are following, people rather than Jesus, and that's the problem. And when that cult of personality person starts to experience bumps on in the road or experiences major media challenges the way Driscoll has, then what happens is that whole solar system flies apart as the center of gravity changes.
Does it at least expose an unrelated weakness to the whole satellite system of congregations? And that is, and I think we've talked about it before, whether or not the pastor is beleaguered or in trouble or stepping down or taking a leave of absence, he's never really there, is he?
No, he's not. In fact, I've said this before, and I'll say it again, that any of the people who are members of Mars Hill Phoenix, or formerly what was Mars Hill Phoenix, if they were walking down the street in Phoenix, Arizona, and Mark Driscoll was on the same sidewalk as them, coming towards them, he would not recognize them as members of Mars Hill. And, because he's not there. He's only been there via video monitor, which is not the same as actually being their pastor. Basically, it's just another way of doing tele-evangelism that makes it appear a little more intimate. But at the end of the day, Driscoll has no clue who any of the sheep are that he's supposedly caring for.
One more question on that, and that's just to kind of make sure that we get the story up to date. Is Mark Driscoll still on his extended leave of absence from the main Mars Hill Church?
Yes, he is. He has not resurfaced yet. The time frame was a minimum of 6 weeks. But I think the thing that he's successfully pulled off this week, though, is he's been able to have a week go by without another major story hitting the media. And so there hasn't been any substantive new developments in that, and so as far as I'm concerned, that Driscoll would view that as a win. The more weeks that go by without yet another big news story hitting, the better chance he has of basically surviving the storm and letting it blow over.
On the evening of September 16th, 2014, at approximately 10:30, while I was driving home after leaving a local bar, having consumed alcohol, I was pulled over by the Joplin Police Department and was administered a breathalyzer test in which I failed. I was then arrested and charged with driving while intoxicated, or DWI. My actions and choices have led to a great deal of grief and disappointment for my family, Ignite, and the citizens of the Joplin area, and for that, I am truly sorry.
That's Heath Mooneyham. He's the leader of Ignite Church. He mentioned it there. Sometimes covered in the press in Joplin and elsewhere as America's manliest church. Chris, what's the story here about Mooneyham?
Well, Mooneyham is a guy who has kind of made his pastoral career about out-Driscolling Driscoll, if that can even be done. This is a guy who... if Driscoll is into let's say a manly guy in MMA, Mooneyham is kind of like MMA kickboxer and Larry the Cable Guy all mixed up together, and he's basically built his church around what he believes is reaching out to manly redneck types from Oklahoma, and the things he's said from the pulpit, to say that they're outrageous would be an understatement, but that's kind of what he's trafficked in. The guy, he has a mohawk and is all tattooed up, and apparently the big draw for Ignite Church has been Heath Mooneyham and his supposed straight talk. But the problem is, I've demonstrated this on my program for years now, the guy could not rightly handle a biblical text. If I gave him a flashlight and a good set of commentaries, he still wouldn't be able to do it. And so it's once again kind of sad here that this is a guy who's building a mega church off of the seeker-driven model, him being the kind of the center of the cult of personality again, same concepts. But over and again, there's been red flags long before this he was arrested, the red flag showed up in his Bible twisting and his inability to preach the word properly. But that didn't keep him from being disciplined by his elders. And he wasn't disciplined by his elders until he was arrested for driving while intoxicated, which is actually very sad, because Paul in 1 Timothy says to Timothy, watch your doctrine and your life carefully. It's both. And there was clearly signs long ago, and for years now, that Heath is his character lacks the biblical qualifications to be a pastor. But on top of it, he has no theological ability whatsoever to rightly handle God's word. And only now they're making him take a leave of absence so that he can go to Alcoholics Anonymous or something. But he should have never been allowed to be a pastor in the first place.
Every year during this time is a very special time. But this is special above special above special.
Yep.
And we want you to get that shofar. Yep. We want you to blow that and obey God and call the blessing of God in and drive the enemy out. But what a time to do this, because we're going to take the gifting that you give as you get these shofars, and we're going in to help Israel.
Yes.
We're going in to help the hospital. Mm. We're going in to help the children of Israel. We're going in to bless the Holocaust survivors.
Yeah.
That's Larry Huck and his wife. You can hear her agreeing in the background. Chris, who is this couple, and what are they doing with a ram's horn sitting on the table in front of them, apparently selling them? What's going on?
Well, Larry Huck is a guy who pastors a church in Texas, and he's also a televangelist, and he is kind of like the kind of token representative of kind of a major thing that's happening right now in evangelicalism, and that is that many of the televangelists and people kind of on the fringe of the Hebrew Roots movement, they're trying to capitalize on the Jewish feast days that are in the Mosaic Covenant. And what these guys have been doing for years now, and it's actually growing in popularity, I call these Hebrew-ish heresies, where they're basically saying, God wants to bless you, but you've got to understand that God works off of a calendar. There's a certain set time and season for things. And so because we're coming on to the season of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur in the Hebrew calendar, these are things that are in God's calendar, and so you Christians need to observe these things, and the way you observe them is by sending us money. And once you do that, because you never come to the Lord empty-handed, these guys say, and once you send in your seed offering, then what happens is God opens up his books, and he decides for the next year how he's going to bless you. And this is a growing in popularity false teaching among many of the televangelists. You see it with Rod Parsley, you see it with Larry Huck, you see it with Paula White, and a whole host of others. And these guys are going crazy right now, basically shilling for people. You got to send in your money, and if you send it in now, we'll send you a shofar or anointed prayer shawl, weird things like this. But this is becoming more and more kind of the mainstream of what many evangelicals are believing because of televangelists like Larry Huck.
Now, this is in fact not just a kind of a clever way to draw people in. They're capitalizing, at least Larry Huck does later in that video, on the fact that Israel is so much in the news nowadays. Are they playing into this kind of very poorly thought out connection between Christianity and Israel?
Yeah, and see, this is kind of a main feature of the dispensational thinking, is that the way they read the Book of Revelation and Romans is they're basically saying that God has something super special for Israel in the last times, and that if any nation opposes Israel, then they're opposing what God wants to accomplish in the earth in the last days leading up to the rapture. And so Huck knows that this is like a major thread that runs through evangelicalism, especially dispensational evangelicalism, and he's capitalizing on that. And by teaching these, that you need to, as a Christian, observe these Jewish feast days, he's trying to create the impression that, oh, we're not only in favor of Israel, we're doing what God told Israel to do, and you need to participate with us. And so they're kind of taking it to the next step and making merchandise of people, all in the name of supporting Israel.
Chris, before we let you go, what's on docket for Fighting for the Faith tonight?
today's kind of a potpourri episode. You know, kind of, you know, you take the scraps of what's left over and you make a theological hot dog with it. It'll be scrum-diddly, but we're going to be dealing with some strange things from Patricia King, Larry Gall, prophecy regarding Rosh Hashanah, and then we've got a guy, a televangelist, who recently preached at T.D. Jakes' church that we're going to be featuring today, too.
Folks, you can listen to Chris Roseboro and Fighting for the Faith in less than a half hour, right after the broadcast of Issues, Etc., at piratechristianradio.com, piratechristianradio.com. Chris Roseboro is pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith, coming up in less than a half hour after Issues, Etc., piratechristianradio.com. Chris, thanks.
Thanks, Todd.
When we come back from this break, we're going to play a little game that we like to play with our listeners on Fridays, Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. It's a way to kind of review what's been happening here on Issues, Etc. and your chance to win the LPR bundle package for having the best vote for Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week when we come back. Is the Lord's Day sanctified by man's work or man's rest? I've written an article for the latest Issues, Etc. journal titled Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, Etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details former Baptist minister Dennis McFadden's journey to the objectivity of the Lutheran Confession of Faith. The free Issues, Etc. journal.
The saints at Gethsemane Evangelical Lutheran Church in downtown Marion, Ohio, invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, which He won for us in His perfect life, death, and resurrection. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:15 a.m. with a divine service following at 10:30. Visit our website, gethsemane-lcms.org, or find us on Facebook to learn more about our confessional, historical, and liturgical congregation.
No matter the size, big or small, RP Lumber can deliver it all. From pickups to one-tons to box trucks and booms, everywhere you look, you see blue. RP Blue. RP prides itself in customer service. RP will deliver quality products to your home, business, or job site. And you can be sure of timely delivery on clean trucks with courteous drivers. So when you think of service, think blue. RP Blue. With over 50 local community locations, for 37 years, RP Lumber.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received Him, who believed in His name, the Gospel of John says, He gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Christ at the Center, the Justification of the Ungodly, a Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, the Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues, Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.